You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Ken. Thanks for being here. For 160 years, Boys and Girls Clubs have navigated times of crisis to provide safe places for kids and teens. So we're zooming in on the work of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County as it provides food and programming support during this pandemic. How have you seen family and friends and neighbors help each other during this time? Do you rely on the Boys and Girls Club for childcare? How are you managing right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Michael Johnson is president and CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. Michael, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, when we last checked in with you about a month ago, you had raised just shy of $1 million to help in this pandemic. How did that fundraising turn out?
It's turning out great. As of this morning, we raised about $2 million in partnership with United Way and Selfless Ambition. And we've distributed those funds to more than 50 nonprofits throughout Dane County. So it's going extremely well so far.
Are you feeling like you're moving quickly to be able to get the funds to the nonprofits that need them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the fastest I've ever seen. You know, we were a little surprised when we originally kicked off this campaign. The goal was to raise $50,000. And then within, 24 hours, we raised $250,000. And within 72 hours, we were at $500,000. Within a week, we were at $1 million. And then within a month, we're at $2 million. And so I'm thankful that more than 1,000 donors throughout southern Wisconsin has contributed to this fund. We've gotten those resources out to nonprofits, in the community, and we're seeing them do amazing work so far.
How is the Boys and Girls Club spending these funds? Where are you putting these dollars?
Yeah, so let me just give you a quick update. So far we've paid the bills of more than 150 families across Dane and Walworth County. We're partnering with Feed Kitchen and Second Harvest. We're providing more than 500 meals per day to families in need. We awarded funds to local colleges and universities to support students who are having hardships. And we just last week donated, with the generosity of one of our local car companies here, a used electric car to a local student here in town. We started a campaign to feed first responders. So every day we've been feeding police officers, firefighters, nurses, and first responders, making sure that they're getting a healthy meal every single day. This morning, we're delivering 500 pounds of food to the Catholic Multicultural Center with the CEO of Sarah Cycling, and we're doing that on electric bikes. And so we're just trying to do, our part with other partners to make sure that those who are impacted, by this pandemic, that we're leveraging, our collective resources to make sure people are getting this support right away.
You mentioned they're working with 150 families to help pay their bills. How do families find you? How are you able to connect?
Yeah, so I would encourage people. Yesterday, United Way of Dane County, we released $1.5 million yesterday through their fund. And they released, if you go on their website, you will see all of the agencies that were funded. We would encourage people to reach out to those organizations. Many of them have their own process. There's also on the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County website, the agencies that we funded with their email addresses and how they're helping people. So I would encourage people to go to both the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County website and the United Way of Dane County website, and you'll see those 50-plus agencies who have secured these funds and how they're helping people during these challenging times.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Michael Johnson. He's CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. We're checking in on the efforts of his organization during the pandemic, what outreach is going on. With your questions about volunteerism at 800-642-1234, how are you lending a hand during this crisis? How is it going? Or if you know of a group that needs help, what is it? How can the help be provided? Join in at 800-642-1234. Michael, I imagine that it's a pretty tricky time to manage volunteers when there are multiple organizations trying to blend resources. How is that going?
Yeah, I would say we've tried to be very, very careful around that. So we have used, you know, some volunteers to work with the restaurants to deliver meals to first responders, and then we also are delivering meals at all three of our Boys and Girls Clubs and working with groups like Feed Kitchen to have volunteers to support with that. So, for example, just last Friday, we partnered with Local 311, the firefighters, and a restaurant called Gino's, and we gave away, we fed 500 people and was surprised by the number of folks who came out. And so we've tried to limit the number of volunteers that we have, and we're pretty much utilizing, you know, our staff. But there are other groups like, you know, Feed Kitchen and Second Harvest, the River Food Pantry, that are in need of volunteers. We're leveraging our support to make sure that we have people who are donating resources towards these efforts. So we started a campaign called Move for BGC. And Move for BGC, if you Google it, it's a campaign to feed first responders, to feed kids, and to also help us raise money to provide virtual programming for kids throughout Dane County.
What types of virtual programming are you trying to provide children right now?
So we kicked it off yesterday. If you go to the Boys and Girls Club's Facebook page, the virtual program is going to be around educational support and providing online tutorial support for young people, and also supporting virtual programs that the school district put out. A lot of people don't know, but we have about 50 paid tutors that we have in the public school systems. We're the only nonprofit that I know of that have paid tutors in the classrooms working with teachers every single day. So we want to redeploy our people to make sure that we're providing that online support. We also will be doing cooking classes online because we want our young people and our families to be eating healthy while they're sitting at home. So we'll be bringing on chefs to do Facebook Live videos for our families to make sure that they're getting that support as well. Our sports people will be interviewing different professionals around how young people can get involved, you know, in sports and how to stay healthy as they play sports, whether it's in their backyards and when they come back to school. So we'll be doing a variety of different things like that to engage not only young people, but their families as they sit at home during this pandemic.
We're talking with Boys and Girls Club of Dane County CEO Michael Johnson is with us. We're looking at the work of his organization during these difficult times. Does your child rely on Boys and Girls Club programming? What services do you want this organization to provide right now? How have you seen family, friends, and neighbors rally around each other? What are your stories like? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Michael Johnson right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in the efforts of the Boys and Girls Club amid this pandemic. The Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee said last week that they had handed out 44,000 meals at three sites so far. Along with food, they passed out learning packets, crayons, but the organization scaled back to one day a week for safety reasons. Do you rely on the Boys and Girls Club? What do you need from the organization right now? What could help you get by during this stay-at-home order? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Michael Johnson here, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, and he stays with us. You know, Michael, one of the missions of the Boys and Girls Club early on was to help stop the number of latchkey kids, kids who were returning home after school with no parents in sight. And, you know, that was a really important thing for your clubs to intervene on that. Are you concerned now with your kids all at home and maybe without supervision?
Yeah, so I would say that there's a lot of kids in this community that will need us, and that's why, you know, we are making sure that we're doing the appropriate outreach, whether it's calling the parents directly or reaching out to young people to engage them on social media or working with the local school districts to make sure that there are hot spots in the community for kids to be able to access, you know, Wi-Fi. And so there are a lot of families, particularly low-income families, who may be underemployed or may be working multiple jobs or might be sitting at home. And so we just try to do our part to make sure that the thousands of young people that have come to our clubs in the past, that we continue to engage them and support these families that need us the most. And so we're going to try to do our part to make sure that they're eating healthy, that we're providing virtual programming to support their kids. And then as we learn of barriers, that we also support them. So just for example, you know, we have people who are checking on families, and I met with a donor last night, and they gave us 10,000 surgical masks, the Metcalf family. And so it's just little barriers like that. If you have people going out, you know, checking on families, making sure that they have the support, you know, that they need. As we hear from young people and what their concerns and what their needs are, we're going to try to adjust accordingly and try to meet those needs as our young people sit at home.
Internet access, though, can be a big barrier if that child can't get online or doesn't have a device. What do you do there?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. You know, I know the school district, particularly MMSD, is working on that right now. I was just on a phone conference with all the community center directors, the city, and MMSD, and I believe that issue is going to be addressed in the next week or so, because what I'm hearing from some of the families that if you have a past due bill, that some of the promotions that they're offering right now in terms of free Wi-Fi, that you won't qualify for it. So the city and MMSD is looking to do these hotspots across the region to make sure that our kids are able to log on to Wi-Fi. And it's my understanding that some of the computers that they're purchasing and some of the Chromebooks that they're giving to the kids would also have Wi-Fi capability and will be able to log on from there. So I know they're working on it, and I'm hoping we'll have this addressed in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, so the kids would take their Chromebooks to these hotspot areas in order to use them and get that internet access?
No, it's my understanding they'll be able to use them from home. And they'll be able
okay.
to get internet access.
I see.
And it's my understanding that there's some federal dollars coming down through the state to be able to support municipalities and school districts to be able to do that.
We're talking with Michael Johnson, CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, checking in on how his organization is faring amid the pandemic, how it's reaching out to others. You can join in this conversation about volunteerism and where you're helping out. 800-642-1234. Michael, in Milwaukee County and other metro areas around the country, a disproportionate number of African Americans are testing positive for COVID-19. They're falling ill. What do you make of this pattern? What's driving it?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the number of low-income families, and particularly, you know, I'm an African-American, you know, male, so you look at, you know, Chicago, you look at, you know, state of Illinois, you look at Milwaukee, and you see that people who live in dense, you know, urban areas are being the most impacted. Also, when you look at racial disparities, you know, African-Americans are always at the bottom, you know, of that list, and there's challenges, you know, around that. And so when you look at most of the people who work in these direct service fields, whether it's bus drivers or store clerks or folks who are essential right now, typically are low income, live in low income communities, and are typically people of color. And those are the folks who are the most impacted. And when you look at the disproportionate deaths that's happening across the country, African-Americans right now are the most impacted. So what we have tried to, you know, encourage people, we've been putting out, you know, statements on a regular basis, you know, asking people to, one, practice social distancing, two, that they're eating, you know, healthy meals and drinking a lot of water. Three, that they're, you know, washing their clothes and wearing a face mask, you know, every time that they go out. And then making sure that they're, if they're on medication, that they're, and that their doctor have prescribed and have given them medication, that they're taking it to keep themselves healthy. I know I have friends and family members who have been impacted by the coronavirus. I've also had a staff person that have contracted the virus and have since recovered. So the good news is, on one hand, we've lost a lot of Wisconsinites, over 200 people, but at the same time, it's my understanding over 4,000 people have recovered, and I know at least 6 or 7 people that have recovered from it so far.
In your personal network, Michael, how are your staffers doing? How are they? How are you handling this time for your organization? Are they furloughed?
Yeah, so about we were able to retain about 60%, you know, of our staff, and in some cases with our part-time employees and some of our middle-level managers and some of our senior staff have decided to go on FMLA because some may be single parents who now have to attend to their school, to their kids, and help, you know, homeschool them. We've also made sure that in some cases it made sense. Some of our employees are like, hey, I think I'll probably do better, you know, with the stimulus package, you know, working either from home part-time and collecting unemployment. And so we had to furlough about 40% of our staff, and that was challenging because we've never had to lay, you know, anybody off at Boys and Girls Clubs, at least in my 10 years here. But we also made sure that we were talking to our employees on a regular basis, identifying resources that they can tap into. And then we also raised funds to make sure that each one of our employees that were impacted by this pandemic, that we got them relief. And so we raised enough money to provide up to $1,000 for each one of our employees that were impacted, you know, by COVID-19. And we also identified additional resources for them to make sure that they're getting the support that they need. And then my team is talking every single day through Zoom to make sure that we're getting, you know, critical work that needs to be done in the community. And then we actually have an all-staff meeting this week that we do through Zoom to make sure that I'm communicating with our team on a regular basis.
I wonder, you know, once we're on the other side of this pandemic, do you see nonprofits and volunteerism through a new lens? Because there has been so much collaboration, there has been so much teamwork among nonprofits to be able to get through this time, and social service agencies.
Yeah, so I think that the world that we lived in a month and a half ago, I think will look different in the next 6 months. I believe that a fair share of our nonprofits and small businesses are going to be impacted by this, and contributions across our sector, I think, is going to be down. One out of 10 jobs in Wisconsin come from the nonprofit sector, and a lot of that support comes from small businesses and corporations and individual contributions. And I would make an assumption that those contributions are probably going to go down because of the unemployment rate. And so more now than ever, we're going to have to be creative in terms of how we deliver services to children and families. How do we work with, you know, the small businesses? And then even those folks who were once donors, they now might be folks that we have to provide services to make sure they're getting the help that they need. And that's why when we kicked off this campaign a month ago, we didn't try to go at it alone. We called Selfless Ambition. We called United Way. We called the River City Food Pantry. We called Second Harvest, because it's going to take our collective leadership to ensure those who are impacted by this virus get the support that they need. But at the same time, we also got to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and that we're taking precaution to make sure that that we're staying safe while we're out there helping people.
Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Michael Johnson, CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, back after this news update on the Ideas Network.